You really should consider the legal aspect.
George's stomach growled. The food the two men were stuffing into their mouths with such indecent haste smelled delicious. He had been given no food, though it was promised for just before you go swimming. He had instead been given the novel experience of cleaning all the plumbing fixtures in the building with a toothbrush held in his teeth. He had not been willing, but the two men had not offered him any alternatives. His bruises throbbed, and his shoulders ached abominably from the strain of his bound arms.
Like what? You think this will come up in a court or something?
The slender one was the bully, George had discovered, when, after some hours of jeering and shoving, they had finally helped him lower his trousers to use the toilet. The stocky one, who looked meaner with that scar across his chin, was only rough, not cruel. In the hours since, the slender man had taken every opportunity to cause pain in ways that would not show on an autopsy.
Probably. My father gets most things to court, and he will certainly sue someone when I'm dead.
It was most inconvenient, having one's hands tied. George had not realized how dependent he was on gesture, a habit learned from his father. The men looked at each other.
Poor Lord Thornbuckle. I'm sure he'll be worried.
George stared into space above them, the closest he could come to the pose he usually achieved at these moments.
Oh, I expect my father will represent him, too. A class action suit, I imagine. Damages, negligence.
Nonsense. You don't think you can scare us with your father? I've known better lawyers than your father in my life.
I doubt that. You don't even know who my father is.
He's not in the same class with, Kevil Starbridge Mahoney. Now is he?
My dear lads, he is Kevil Starbridge Mahoney. And if you know him, you know how surely he will pursue anyone who harms his family. I'm George Starbridge Mahoney.
A pause, during which the slender man chewed steadily and the stocky one cast nervous glances from George to his companion. Finally, the slender man swallowed and pushed himself away from the table. George felt his heart begin to pound.
I don't believe you, and I don't like liars.
George hoped his face didn't show how frightened he was, a sudden burst of fear that made him glad he was in the chair and not trying to stand up.
Now wait. We aren't supposed to mark him up, remember?
I won't. Now, what did you say your name was?
George Starbridge Mahoney.
George was going to be hurt anyway, just as the bully at school had twisted ears or arms, no matter what you said. But one might as well tell the truth. And if they concentrated on asking him about himself and his past, perhaps they wouldn't ask where the others might be hiding on the island. He braced himself for whatever the slender man might do, but he did nothing. Then he slipped a hand into a pocket and came out with a glove. The man put the glove on and tapped its fingers on George's head, just hard enough to sting and demonstrate that the fingers were tipped with something hard.
You're sure of that? Then I suppose you know all about Vilgus versus Robertson Colony.
It's against ethics to talk about cases outside professional venues.
A gloved finger probed behind his ear, and George squirmed away.
But sometimes, at home, of course, it did happen.
The whole case was over, appeals and all, long ago. What harm could it do to admit that? And now that he thought about it, there had been a threat against the family. His father had insisted that none of them go out without an escort.
I remember the threat, but I was only 8.
Ah, which would make you now...
23.
Had it really been 15 years? He would never forget the bomb in the vegetable shipment that had destroyed the old kitchen and scared the cook so that she went into early retirement. Of course, she hadn't been in danger. None of the servants were even in the house for the duration of the threat. His father had insisted on that. The finger prodded beneath his chin, only slightly painful so far.
And was the threat ever carried out?
A bomb in the vegetables. It blew all the tiles off the wall.
It occurred to George that this man might have been involved, for all that he didn't look old enough. How old did you have to be to send bombs through the food system? Perhaps he'd started young. Perhaps he wanted revenge.
And what was the outcome? the real outcome.
That, too, he would not forget, because he had been just old enough to recognize the discrepancy between the public news and what his father said to a colleague in the study.
How did you know about the real outcome?
Answer the question!
The Robertson colony paid an indemnity, enough to keep them working hard for the next 50 years, my father said, with no off-planet travel until it was paid. Slocum and DeVries got mind-wiped. Vilgas died, but they hushed it up so his heirs could get the profits.
You do know more about it than the average young sprout. Tell me this, then. When your father, assuming he is your father, approaches the bench, what does he do with his hands?
George's arms strained, trying to reproduce the familiar gesture. He could not say it without doing it.
His left hand's in his vest pocket, as if he felt a pain, and his right hand is holding down the tail of the frill.
The slender man turned away a moment to look at his companion, then turned back to George.
So, if you're Mahoney's son, why should we care?
You said already. You know what he's like. He'll see money somewhere and go after it.
I'm not rich. Why should I worry? He'll go after the deep pockets.
He'll go after anyone involved. Deep pockets hire their own lawyers. Will they hire one for you?
Don't try to scare me. It won't work.
But he glanced at his stocky partner a moment too long. George knew what his father must feel in the courtroom when some change in his opponent's body or face let him know he had scored. He had always assumed law was dull, all those racks of data cubes, all those hours under the helmet. But he had never felt anything like the rush of excitement that now roared through him. Then the slender man's eyes came back to his face, and the triumph chilled. This man enjoyed pain too much to give it up, even for safety.
If I escaped, I could call Lord Thornbuckle. You'd have time to get away, if you wanted, although I would testify that you helped me. The people who thought this up are the real criminals. My father would be on your side then.
It's a thought. I'd rather have Mahoney on my side than cross-examining me.
The slender man stared at George in a way that made his insides twitch.
If it came to that, if we can't get it out of this one...
I don't know where the others are. You can get me to tell you where I last saw them, but if they were still there, they'd have been captured. And I've been here at least a day.
George was sure it was two. Why else would they have shoved him back into the closet for a time and kept him below ground level, except for that one foray of bathroom cleaning in the upstairs suites? He tried very hard not to think about the cave Bubbles had mentioned. He didn't know where it was. He was very glad he didn't know where it was, and they might not be in it anyway.
Time's going to run out. Someone will notice that we're gone and start hunting for us. They can get Michaels to say we went to White Wings easily enough, but we aren't at White Wings, and it'll be obvious we weren't. Besides, that flitter beacon still operates. If anyone checks the satellite logs...
He's right. They should have pulled out as soon as the flitter crashed there. Someone was bound to come looking. It's a wonder they haven't before now. There wasn't really a chance of catching the passengers.
A sporting chance. That's what our admiral likes, remember? The more chance, the more challenge. But if we could get out from under while he takes the blame, then that's a chance I like. You do understand that we want to be free and clear.
Of course.
George's father's son could not miss the undertones. But it was a chance. The slender man nodded at the stocky one.
Go check upstairs. We don't want to run into the admiral, though he said he wouldn't be back until it was over. Or we got something out of this one.
George had hoped for a glimpse of the outside world on his way to the communications setup, but the comm shack at Bandon Lodge was in the basement. Two long, light gray corridors and a windowed door. He didn't even know if it was day or night outside. The slender man tapped the main board's controls, screens lit.
Satellite bounce to the main house or to the home station?
I'd try for main house. That'd be quickest. There are people who know me.
Here then. You ready?
George had a moment of panic when he couldn't remember the flitter's number, but it came to him. He pressed the button.